like to say a word of welcome to all of those who are joining us electronically on video streaming, and hope that you're able to participate spiritually with this celebration, especially this great Thanksgiving that the Eucharist is for all of us. A man from the countryside, a farmer, came to town and went to a restaurant and ordered a meal. And as it was presented by the waitress laid out in front of him, he thanked her, and then he made the sign of the cross and said a prayer of thanksgiving, of grace. And a rude customer at the next booth said, hey, does everybody back where you come from do that? And he says, no, the pigs don't. This wonderful set of readings from the great figure Naaman and the prophet Elisha, their interchange, and Paul and Timothy, and then Jesus and the Samaritan leper who comes back and thanks God. They remind us of the ways in which in giving gratitude to each other and to God, we really do show a grace that is that opens up the relationships that we have with others to a new level. Naaman was a Syrian general, Aramean, and a very important figure right after the king, the general of that great empire, the Syrian Empire at the time. Was very very significant figure, and in his household was a little girl, a very young girl, who was Jewish, and she was a slave. She had been captured after a battle and brought into his household, so she's the lowest in the household. But this great general listens to her advice, and her advice is, back in my country, she said, you might find healing, because Naaman, like many great people, actually like all of us, he had one thing wrong with him. He was a leper, and in spite of being a great general, he suffered from this terrible disease. And, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt suffered from polio and yet was a great president, the only one elected four times in a row. And Abraham Lincoln suffered from depression, and yet he's accounted almost always as the greatest American president by most people. So nothing wrong with having a flaw, and it's what we do with it. And Naaman listened to this young girl, and he got a letter from the king to go to Israel to visit with this great prophet Elisha that she had told him about. And she assured him that he could heal Naaman's disease. So he takes this little girl's advice, goes with his entourage, and he arrives at Elisha's house. And they knock at the door and said, the general would like you to come out and greet him. And Elisha refuses to go out. And he simply says, just go and dunk yourself in the Jordan River seven times. Now, his first response, Naaman's, was the beautiful Farfar River in Damascus has clean running water. Why would I come all the way to this place, this lowly place, and the Jordan? I was just there a couple weeks ago. It's a muddy little stream. It's not very impressive. And he says, why would I go and dunk myself in that? He refuses to do it at first and insists on seeing Elisha. Elisha refuses to see him. And finally, his advisors say, well, why don't you just try it anyway? So he has the humility to go and dunk himself, lower himself to going into this stream, this muddy stream, seven times. And when he comes out, it says his skin is like that of a baby. He is completely renewed. And he is this figure, I think, for all of us that whoever we are, we all have some wound, some difficulty that we have to deal with. And often we get advice from very modest places, and it can be very helpful. I have the joy of going down to Dodger Stadium when the team is at home and celebrating Mass with them on the afternoon at the vigil. And the lector at that Mass is Vince Scully, and he is this wonderful person that is the voice of the Dodgers. He still has the record for being the youngest person ever to broadcast a World Series game. I never should have let the Dodgers go out of town without their chaplain, because they've not done well on the road. Just hope they come back and do all right. But in any case, Peggy, Vince Scully went to Fordham, and he is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. He is so gracious and generous. And walking around the stadium with him is like walking around with what I would imagine Pope Francis is. There's a lady, Marie, who runs the elevator. He knows her name. He thanks her every time we're in the elevator. There's an 87-year-old woman who is Jewish and who has been working there for decades. And at one of the concession stands, and he knows her and greets her like she is Magic Johnson or Ned Coletti. He is that kind of person who treats everybody with a certain grace that is wonderful to behold, and to be in his presence as well. A couple years ago, he was the lector for Mass. It was the eve of Palm Sunday, and so we had the whole Passion narrative, and he was the narrator, and the Pittsburgh Pirates were in town, and so he read the whole Passion, Vince Scully's voice. And after Mass, the coaches from the Pittsburgh Pirates came up and they said, "I have never listened to the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as intently as I did today." This one. So I bring him up. I know he's not here in the congregation, because it would, he does not suffer from pride at all. He's just announced that he will, God willing, be the voice of the Dodgers for another year, next year. But I swear, this man is Catholic and Christian to the bone. And he got it from his home. He got it from the Jesuits at Fordham. Miss Peggy did, and he is this man that I think takes these readings and makes them come alive, at least for me. And you all, I'm sure you have people in your circle of friends and relationships who are like that, who are just wonderful to be around, because they appreciate and say thank you and are gracious and filled with gratitude. That's Vince Scully. I'd like to end with a story, because we have a little speaker after this too. Moses Mendelssohn was a great Jewish German philosopher who lived 200 years ago, and Moses was brilliant and compassionate, but in addition to that, he had a flaw, and the flaw was that he was small and had a hump on his back. And in spite of the hump on his back, Moses fell in love with a charming, beautiful young woman named Gretchen. And after a few months, he went to see her. She was the daughter of a prosperous banker. And he went to see her father. That's what they did in those days. You started with the father. If you wouldn't even think of asking the daughter for her hand in marriage before the father. So he goes to meet the father, and when he meets him in his home, he very hesitantly asks the father how he thinks his daughter might possibly consider marrying him. And he says, "I love her very much." And the father said, hesitated a moment, and then he replied, "The truth is that the girl is frightened of you because of your..." And Moses finished the sentence for him, "Because of my hunchback." And he said, "Yes, sorry to say it, because of your hunchback." And I want to get this straight, so here's what he does. Mendelssohn paused after silence, and then he asked permission to see the daughter on the pretext of saying a final goodbye to her. And the father said, "Sure, you can go and see her." So he goes to her room, and she is busy with needlework. As he enters, she does not raise her eyes to him, and he begins a conversation, which gradually he brings around to the subject of marriage. And when he does so, then she looks up for a moment and she says, "Do you believe marriages are made in heaven?" And he says, "Yes. And while we're on the subject, I might as well tell you something unusual that happened to me. As you know, when boys are born, the angels of heaven call out for all to hear, 'This little boy is destined to have this special girl as his wife. It is decreed for all eternity, and no one may change it.' So when I was born, the angels made the usual announcements about me, and the name of my future wife was announced. But then the angels paused, and they added, 'But alas, Mendelssohn's wife will have a terrible hump on her back.' And then I shouted, 'Oh, Lord,' I shouted out loud before the court of heaven, 'No, Lord, no. A girl who is hunchbacked will be very easily bitter and hard and the object of awful jokes and hurts. No, Lord. The girl should be beautiful.' And then I prayed, 'Oh Lord, please, please, give the hump to me and let her be well formed.' And you know what, Gretchen? God heard my prayer, and I was glad, because, as you know, I was that boy. And you are that girl." Gretchen was so deeply moved by this. I hope this is true. I think it is. But she was so deeply moved that she saw him in a whole new way, and she did become his faithful wife for the rest of their lives. He ransomed her by taking the hump upon his own back, and she ransomed him by her love and her trust and her long life with him, long life of love. This celebration that we keep today is a celebration that can be summed up in one word: gratitude. And our Eucharist is one word in Greek: Eucharist, thanksgiving to the living God. We can never, ever express enough gratitude to this good God for all he has done for us and taken on for us and out of pure love. So Moses Mendelssohn and Gretchen are just a small example of it. I'd like to introduce now a member of the parish council who is named Flip Sanchez. And Flip is going to speak about why he gives 50% of everything he makes to the church. Is that right? Maybe that's not quite the right number, but there you go. Welcome, Flip.
Thank you, Father. Good evening to everyone here, and good evening to the folks watching online. My mom actually watches this Mass online. About a couple months ago, she calls me up, and she's like, "Hey, Felipe, I saw you on TV." I'm like, "TV? What? Where? How? What was I doing?" And she's like, "Well, it was only for a few seconds. You know, it was when you were going to communion at St. Monica's. But you looked real nice." So you know you've made it in Hollywood when your parents could watch you on TV every week. It's great. She's actually watching right now. I talked to her right before Mass, and she said she was nervous for me. So that was a nice vote of confidence. Actually, the camera is right back there. Her name is Frances. At the count of three, let's all say, "Hi, Frances." One,
hi, Frances.
Two, three.
Hi, Frances.
All right. That's not the reason I'm here, believe it or not. Official church business. So last week, we had a member of the Finance Council up here giving our annual financial report. And this week at all the Masses, members from the Parish Council are talking about stewardship. And I was asked to share a few thoughts on why I choose to give back to the St. Monica Catholic community. So for me, it's just, I look at all the great things St. Monica's has to offer, starting with the clergy, Monsignor, Father David, Father Mark, and of course, Father Willie. They just give the greatest homilies and just fire me up for the week. Also the ministries, there's over 200 ministries at St. Monica's. Seems like there's a ministry for everyone. Some of my favorites are Camp Miller. It's run by Maureen and Tom. They go up to this juvenile detention facility in Malibu, and I've gone with them a few times, and it's just great. They go and they spend time with these kids who society has kind of written off, and they pray with them, they have Mass with them. It's really inspiring. Then there's YMA, TTF, GLOW. I'm glad to be a part of a parish that has an organization like GLOW. I'm really proud of that. And probably the biggest blessing for me has been the community, specifically the young adult community. I've got some of my best friends part of the young adult community, and it's a big, big group. A lot of you guys come to this Mass, actually. And it's a group that we eat together, we may have a drink together, and we pray together. And I think that's pretty special. We freak some people in the restaurants out when they see a bunch of young adults praying. It's something. So as a member of the parish council, I was lucky enough to sit in on the meeting where we went over the results of the Gallup survey that we took a few months ago. And kind of everything I thought about this young adult group was confirmed in that meeting. It's a big, big group. I think it's 44% of our parish is under 40 years old, and that just blows away the national average. It's a smart, smart group. A big percentage of the young adults have gone to college or even grad school. I'm not that smart, but I like to be, lumped in with these guys. And it's a group that is very involved, come to Mass very often. And so, I'm sitting there in that meeting, and I'm really proud to hear all this stuff about my community, the young adults. And then it came to what we contribute. And we didn't do that well in that category. And I kind of shied down in my seat, and it was like there was a big mirror in front of me, and I had to look in that mirror and really think about it, and I give the minimum. or I had given the minimum up to that point. And I've got the maximum from my church. I probably brought down the average for our whole group. Sorry, guys. You know that 6% of our parish contributes 60% of the money, and so I feel like I've had my meal ticket paid. So whoever's paying my meal ticket, thank you, first of all. And second of all, I think it's really time for me to pay it forward. Because if I could give somebody else what I've experienced over the last 3 years at St. Monica's with my contribution, then I'll be blessed even more than I am now. So over the next few weeks, we're going to hand out pledge cards, or you might be getting them in the mail. And we really want you to just think about this decision on what you're going to contribute. It's a personal decision, something you should pray about, and I hope my words may help you with that decision. You too, Mom. If you click right here, there's a thing for donate now. So have a good night.
Thank you very much.